We light these candles to remind ourselves and our children of our work to create a world that is fair and caring. We strive to make the spaces we inhabit peace sites dedicated to promoting peace. We affirm the sacredness of sexuality and gender diversity. We honor all sexual orientations and gender identities, as well as people who have none, and deeply value each other's authenticity. We continue on our journey toward undoing prejudice, racism, and oppression. Our journey as individuals, as a community, and as participants in the wider world. We understand disability as a culture, lived history, and embodied experience, and a product of de-ableing oppressions in a society. We work to enable full access and interdependence in our faith community. We are given this one earth and seek to honor this truth by caring for our buildings and grounds and all places on this earth in ways that respect the interconnected web of all existence, of which we are but a part. In this spirit, we gather, looking toward the day when all people are inside the candle's warmth and light.
Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church at Washington Crossing Online. I'm Reverend Kim Wildschewski, minister of this congregation, and I'm so glad to welcome you into this gathered time. If this is your first time with us this morning, a special welcome to you. No matter how we gather, we know that it is a brave thing to explore a community for the first time, and we're so glad that you chose to do so today. I hope you'll recognize in this hour together that we are a congregation striving to create community, celebrate life, and change the world. If after this morning service you'd like to know more, we invite you to fill out a digital visitor's card at the link provided in the chat so we can learn as much as you'd like to share with us about you, and so that you can learn more about us as well. You'll also find a link to some weekly invitations for connection and learning. On Tuesday nights at 7 p.m., we offer an informal program called Faith Forward, where members and friends and visitors alike connect by learning about one of our ministries. This week's presentation will be an opportunity to meet with the Board of Trustees for a time of open Q&A. So if you've got any questions about how we go about leading or serving at UUCWC, this is a great opportunity for all of you. There's just a couple of additional notes that I want to lift up before we move deeper into our time together. And one is that if you are in need of closed captioning, it should be showing up on your screen already right now. If it's not, you can turn it on by looking at the bottom of your screen and clicking the square with the letters CC inside of it. Click there, and on the option, click on Show Subtitle. If you don't wish to see the closed captioning and it is on your screen, go to that same square and click Hide Subtitle. The next piece is that if you haven't already read this in the recent Cross Currents articles, a reminder that these go out pretty much once a month and they have a lot of information in there. But most important perhaps for right now is that we have hired a minister to cover pieces of my position while I'm gone on maternity leave beginning May 3rd. Reverend Yadni Halu will be overseeing worship and pastoral care. Reverend Yadni is a leader in our denomination, bringing both warmth and power to our faith. To learn more, I'm just going to invite you to check out that article. She's going to be joining us for the May 2nd service, my last Sunday before leave, and she'll be with you through July 18th. It is such a gift that we get to enter into this shared ministry with Reverend Yadni, and my only regret is that I won't be able to be here for it all as well. Last but not least, today's service is our annual auction sermon, which means that at last year's auction, people competed to win a sermon topic in the upcoming year. This morning, I'm honored to work through and offer reflections for Greg Pontier, but really for all of us, but purchased by Greg, who's inviting us into a time of reflection on voice. The voices that take up space in our development, the voices that encourage us on, the voices that need to be heard but aren't. And we'll of course dive more into this later. But this is an invitation, right? And a reminder to check out this year's auction too. There will actually be four Sunday topics offered up for you to bid on, and a lot more. And Noel will speak to more of that later in this morning together. So with that, I want to thank our tech hosts, John Harvey and Mike Gianella, who are behind the scenes but making our time today possible. I want to lift up MJ Hansen and Lori O'Neill, who create the videos and slides you see each week. Greg Pontier, beloved friend, but also our musician extraordinaire for the morning. For all who gather, may you find in this time a word, song, or silence that feeds something of need within you. Today would not be the same if you hadn't chosen to be here. Let's begin more fully by joining Greg in singing our opening hymn, "If Every Woman in the World." The words are posted in the chat.
I also offer this opportunity to go into gallery view while you're looking and sing with the congregation. This is what I enjoy the most, is when we're all singing together. If every woman in the world, if every woman in the world had her mind set on freedom, if every woman in the world dreamed a sweet dream of peace, if every woman of every nation, young and old, each generation, held her hands out in the name of love, there would be no more war. If every man in the world had his mind set on freedom, if every man in the world dreamed a sweet dream of peace, if every man in every nation, young and old, each generation, held his hands out in the name of love, there would be no more war. If every leader in the world shared a vision of freedom, if every leader in the world shared a sweet dream of peace, if every leader of every nation worked for justice and liberation, holding hands out in the name of love, there would be no more war. If every nation in the world set a true course for freedom, if every nation raised its children in a culture of peace, if all our sons and all our daughters reached in friendship across the water, refusing to be enemies, there would be no more war.
Week we light our chalice, a symbol of our faith, a beacon of hope, love, and justice. We join in this lighting in solidarity and community with hundreds of other Unitarian Universalists lighting chalices today from homes and in virtual worship services, reminding us that we are connected to one another and to a larger community of faith and love. If you have a chalice nearby, we invite you to join UUCWC's Earth Ministry team, who are lighting the chalice today in honor of Earth Day, and to light yours. If you are able, hold it up to your camera and switch to gallery view to see all the chalices being lit today.
Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another.
Coming into the invocation of this time, we invite you to consider this call to worship. Hold nothing back. Bring everything you are and long for, all you love, all you fear to lose, the songs that live in your bones, the stories of your breath, the ache that comes to you in the night. Make this time holy, offering the beauty of your beating heart breaking and breaking open again. Bring it all here to the altar. We have learned to make together the sacred space we claim the insistent thread of love and loyalty. We refuse to let go. Invoke now the spirit of righteous anger and grief that keep you at bay, yet still burns within you. Know this fire, symbolized by the chalices we've lit, as your inheritance. Remember yourself here in rites ancient and new. Feel in this circle all those who have fought for freedom, not just for one, but for all. The steady march of courageous love that lives here and now calls us on. Come, let us worship together.
When I breathe in peace. When I breathe out, I'll breathe out love. When I breathe in, I'll breathe in peace. When I breathe out, I'll breathe out love. When I breathe in, I'll breathe in peace. When I breathe out, I'll breathe out love.
Good morning, everybody. It's so good to see you this morning. Henry Thoreau, one of our well-known Unitarians, sat in front of his little cabin on one of his three chairs, listening to the evening. If you were there, you might have thought there was nothing to listen to. Certainly no TV or YouTube videos. Those wouldn't be around for a long time. There was no one to talk to, no airplanes overhead, no Spotify coming from next door. Mr. Emerson's house, the closest thing to a next door neighbor, was over a mile away. Even the natural world was still. Henry listened for the tiniest sounds, a small fish breaking the surface of the water and splashing down again. The crackle of leaves as a mouse passed by. The sound of wings as a crow passed overhead. To him, these miniature sounds were music. Of course, most of the townspeople of Concord, Massachusetts thought Henry David Thoreau was silly. He decided to build a tiny cabin from used materials out in Emerson's Wood by Walden Pond. Why would a promising writer want to move away from society to sit with birds and bugs for company? In fact, Henry enjoyed the company of Emerson and the other thinkers who shared his transcendentalist philosophy, and he was close to his family. However, to him, the quiet of the pond and animals and plants that lived in around it provided excellent company. Sometimes, Henry thought, the conversation you learn most from is the one in which the least is said. As he watched the last rays of light glisten on the pond, Henry thought, I'm not at all sure that I believe in that God of the Bible, but whatever God is, I'm pretty sure I know it better out here in the quiet. Maybe God is speaking to me in the small voice of the jumping fish and the rustling leaves in the still pond and in the stars beginning to peek through the trees. Maybe I hear God when my heart is still and I listen with my very smallest inner ear. So I have a question for you this morning. What about you? Can you hear the holy with the small voice of the still pond and the stars beginning to peek through the trees? What have you heard when your heart is still? Thank you.
now in peace, go now in peace. May the spirit of love surround you everywhere, everywhere you may go. Go now in peace, go now in peace. May the spirit of love surround you everywhere, everywhere you may go.
On this Sunday, in which the themes of Earth Day and listening and being heard all mingle together with the world and our worlds, our joys and our sorrows, our fears and our celebrations, I invite you to hear the meditation of Connie Barlow, who asks, who am I? As always, and with each transition in this liturgy, the conversation of the gathered body, this is a time to resettle and to recenter yourself so that you might listen more intently, so that you might hear more curiously, so that whatever part of you might need a tender word, it can receive it. So if you haven't yet today, or if you haven't taken a moment to do so right now, I'm going to remind us all that the invitation is always there to breathe intentionally. And for some of us, that's going to mean breathing deeply, and for others of us, that's going to mean just giving notice. And again, before you hear these words, maybe it feels good for your body to stretch, to wake up those full pieces of ourself, not just our heart, not just our minds, but our sinews. Feel the bones that are aching, give attention to them. Maybe it would feel good to rock, to do that primal comforting expression, and just feel the rhythm and the comfort of your own body, remembering what it was like to be whispered to and sung to and cared for. Whatever feels right for you right now, again, I invite you into these questions by Connie Barlow, who says, who am I in a school of 1,000 students, inquired the youth. Who are you in a galaxy of 100 billion stars, responded the sage. Who am I in a world of 6,000 million people, inquired the youth. Who are you in a cosmos of 100 billion galaxies, responded the sage. Who am I whose ancestors sailed away from their homeland, asked the youth. Who are you whose ancestors crawled out of the sea, replied the sage. Who am I whose ancestors learned to till the soil, asked the youth. Who are you whose ancestors learned to breathe the air? Who am I in a body made of mortal flesh, implored the youth. Who are you as flesh made of immortal stardust, offered the sage. Who am I with a mind aching for ancestors, lamented the youth. Who are you as universe, delighting in questions? As universe with questions and answers hidden within you. We come this morning with questions swirling in the universe of our bodies and hearts. They are questions about who we are in the interdependence of things. They are questions about how we can live still in a country in which that interdependence is so easily denied, so furiously broken time and again, time and again. This morning, like too many mornings, these questions accompany the names of lives lost, lives taken by gun violence and police violence and white supremacy and our adoration for independence over interdependence. We say this week, the names of those lives that we know of that have been called into the public sphere with reverence and with charge. Adam Toledo, Dante Wright, Matthew Alexander, Samaria Blackwell, Amarjeet Jahal, Jaswinder Kaur, Jaswinder Singh, Amarjeet Sekhan, Carly Smith, John Weisert, Matthew Zadok Williams. For your lives taken cruelly and purposely, for the lives of those who mourn you, for the lives of those who see themselves in you, for our children who are learning the way of the world in your life, your death, and how we respond, we lift up your lives in the light of this time. If there are joys or sorrows that you wish to share, that you wish to add to this time of open-hearted sharing and witnessing and holding and honoring, I invite you to turn to your chat now and let the light and weight of our lives intermingle. As always, I will read as many as I can out loud, but those that are not read are still honored and witnessed to in the time that we have gathered here today. As always, the invitation is to make sure that your chat is set so that everybody can read it. We lift up Nancy Neff's mother, who is in Virginia. No, I'm sorry. Please hold her mother, Virginia, and her family as they walk the path of her passing. Jeff Bueller lifts up that the garden is ready for planting. And just within those two, we acknowledge the depth of interconnection of life and loss, the blooming of the earth. One among us lifts up the joy of growth, the maturity in the family. There's decline that comes with aging from another. Yesterday, there was a beloved and great turnout for Earth Day at the church, where there was grounds cleanup, where they planted native trees and shrubs and spruced up the grounds. There's gratitude for spring and for another COVID shot for another among us. The young people among us are aging. Raymond will be 24, Karen Shike lifts up. And yes, we are lifting up prayers for and love for all those among us who are grieving. Joy of watching our children play outside and begin to use their bodies as well as their gifts and talents for music. There's gratitude to our auction committee who's putting together so much effort to make sure that we can be connected and visionary during this time. Lauren Shalish lifts up the joy of babies in spring, and the chauffeurs share that their grandson is 10 years old today. As your joys, as your sorrows continue to come into the chat, you are of course invited to keep letting those filter in. I invite you to hear the words by Reverend Catherine Jesch. These are adapted by Catherine, who writes, "In the spirit of community, in which we find strength and common purpose, we share our joys, our sorrows, our hopes and dreams. We've turned our minds and hearts toward one another in trust, giving love, seeking comfort, and celebrating together. We are part of the web of life that makes us one with all humanity and one with all the universe. In these moments of our lives, for those loved ones and events shared here this morning, and for those we yet hold in the silence of our hearts, we give thanks. We please join together in singing our hymn of affirmation, Spirit of Life. Words of Persian poet Hafiz to start our time for this offering on voices and being heard. This is Hafiz's piece, Cast All Your Votes for Dancing, in which he writes, I know the voice of depression still calls to you. I know those habits that can ruin your life still send their invitations. But you are with friend now and look so much stronger. You can stay that way and even bloom. Keep squeezing drops of the sun from your prayers and work and music and from your companion's beautiful laughter. Keep squeezing drops of the sun from the sacred hands and glance of your beloved. And my dear, from the most insignificant movements of your own holy body. Learn to recognize the counterfeit coins that may buy you just a moment of pleasure, but then drag you for days like a broken man behind a farting camel. You are with friend now. Learn what actions of yours delight him, what actions of yours bring freedom and love. Whenever you say God's name, dear pilgrim, my ears wish my head was missing so they could finally kiss each other and applaud all your nourishing wisdom. Oh, keep squeezing drops of the sun from your prayers and work and music and from your companion's beautiful laughter. And from the most insignificant movements of your own holy body. Now, sweet one, be wise. Cast all your votes for dance. Each season, when the worship associates begin to transition off and we need to recruit for others, I thumb through the directory with a checklist in mind. How does the team represent the congregation? Whose voice or perspective could grow representation in a particular way? Who will grow from being a part of this ministry? And who could hit the ground running so that not everybody is learning at the same pace? Greg Pontier was an easy ask many moons ago. With Greg on guitar, there were some months it seemed he and I shared the chancel steps as often as I would with Robin or Carol. And so, I hope this is okay that I'm saying this, Greg, but it was surprising for me when this musician, now worship associate, this man who comfortably sings out and dances through the sanctuary aisles, belting lyrically without concern, with invitation, right? It was surprising to me that as a worship associate, Greg came with hesitancy. In fact, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Even on a service like this, Greg comes with pre-service jitters and with, to me, unexpected vulnerability. I don't sound like John Denver, he said to me recently. And he's right. And I don't sound like Carole King. No. So he said, while discussing today's sermon topic, I've had to learn to be good with sounding like me. My ears wish my head was missing so they could finally kiss each other and applaud all your nourishing wisdom. It's with this that we come to our time of reflecting on this theme of voices, not only the ones that tell us to give it all up, those voices of depression, those counterfeit coins, but the voice that encourages us on with clarity, bravery, and delight. The ones that exist within the very flesh of our being and the soul of our spirit. The ones that come from friends and congregation encouraging us on, and the voices too that join together so that truth and beauty and holy rightness can be lifted above all the noise that wants to drown it out. Now I know, because I also come with pre-service jitters, that fear of public speaking, of having your voice be shared, having the whole world pivot toward you, is a deeper fear for some than death. So I'm curious, not a lot of people took to their chat during Joys and Sorrows, which is absolutely fine. But if you could, if you're willing, if you're able right now to go to your chat, as I say this, as I invite us into this time of thinking about your voice, of having it heard, or of your capabilities of having somebody else be heard. What's going on in your body? Just imagining again that whole world pivoting toward you and your thoughts and your speech or your expressions. Is it fear, deeper fear than death? Is it excitement or yearning? If only I could take up that space like that, if only they could hear what I've got to offer. Is it shame? For the times you didn't speak, didn't create, didn't cast all your votes on you, on your expressions. So again, if you would take to the chat, make sure it's set to send to everyone. And what has it felt like to be heard? Just offer a word or two. What does it take? What does it take to be heard? And as you share this, Greg is going to grace us with some music.
What would you think if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out of key. Ooh, get by with a little help from my friends. Get high with a little help from my friends. I'm gonna try with a little help from my friends. What do I do when my love is away? Does it worry me to be alone? How do I feel by the end of the day? Am I sad because I'm on my own? No, I get by with a little help from my friends. Yeah, I get high with a little help from my friends. I'm gonna try with a little help from my friends. Do you need anybody? Somebody to love. Could it be anybody? I want somebody to love. Would you believe in a love at first sight? Yes, I'm certain that it happens all the time. What do you see when you turn out the light? I can't tell you, but I know it's mine. Get high with a little help from my friends. Get high with a little help from my friends. I'm gonna try with a little help from my friends. Do you need anybody? I need somebody to love. Could it be anybody? I just want someone to love. Ooh, get by with a little help from my friends. I'm gonna try with a little help from my friends. I get high with a little help from my friends. Ooh, get by with a little help from my friends. With a little help from my friends.
Greg, thank you so much, and everybody who has offered something in the chat. I wish I had the forethought to have just ended the sermon here and read out loud your gifts in this chat, because they're so beautiful, and we will revisit them another time, another morning, I have no doubt. But for right now, I want to switch gears just a little bit, because I wanted to invite us in to really think about how vulnerable, how scary, how brave it is to do this work of speaking, dancing, expressing, singing, showing ourselves, and the sacred exchange of also receiving that from somebody else, right? You can see this in the chat, just how, again, how tender it is to express ourselves in this way. And now I'm going to ask us to go a little bit further inward. You've heard me many times use the phrase still small voice. I hope that phrase still small voice sounds familiar. It's often in our time of prayer and meditation. It's the invitation to put down our certainty and our cynicism and consider for a quiet, intentional searching moment that the sacred does not have to speak by burning bush or parting seas. You do not have to be powerful by taking to the pulpit or singing on guitar in front of hundreds of people, but instead within some smaller, more intimate space within our own selves, the sacred makes itself known, speaking a language that can only be understood by the flesh that encapsulates it, yours, and that can only be heard in times of stillness, intention, of listening within. When Greg and I first started talking about this morning's topic, I immediately thought of this phrase, the still small voice. It comes from the Hebrew scripture about the prophet Elijah. And if you don't remember your prophet Elijah from your childhood church upbringing, or if this wasn't part of your religious education, Elijah was one who believed that there was one single God rather than many. And Elijah was so super confident that he actually took it upon himself to challenge the people who followed a different God, Baal, to a contest to see whose God had more power. Now, this is always like a funny thing to me, right? Like, if you don't believe that there is this other God, how can it compete? But that's a different sermon. So fast forward some, Elijah won, and the queen who followed Baal was ticked. So Elijah fled to the wilderness to escape her fury. Now let's just pause here for a moment. Have you ever been Elijah? Have you ever been so sure of something, so sure that what you knew had to be spoken, had to be named, had to be expressed, only to have what seems like every authority in the land come down on you for your truth, that you've had to set out an escape plan? What did that feel like? What did you learn about speaking your truth in that moment? After a day's journey, Elijah finally rests. He's terrified, he's tired, and he's very much alone. As he sleeps, the story goes that an angel comes to him and says, "Elijah, wake up and have something to eat and drink." Let's pause there for a moment and just listen again to that beautiful theology. You are afraid, you are tired, you feel alone, so rest, then wake. Eat and drink, then rest again. After a while, the angel returns and wakes Elijah again to eat and drink some more, laying cake at his feet, something sweet, saying he'll need his strength to travel to the mountain where his God was said to be. And it's on this next journey that Elijah finds a cave in the mountainside and goes inside. And it's here that he hears a voice asking him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" When I was talking with Greg about this service, he said to me about singing, about speaking, about laying ourselves out here in vulnerable, imperfect ways, about watching the numbers of who signs on and who, if anyone, looks engaged. He said, sometimes what comes up is, why am I even doing this? What are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah believed the question came from his God, so he answers, I'm not sure what I'm doing here, except that I'm very scared and frustrated. I defended you. I did this brave thing. I won. And even so, there are still all these people who don't believe in your power. And I've got the queen after me. And now I'm afraid for my life. And I don't know what to do. The voice speaks to Elijah again. And because he believes the voice belongs to his God, Elijah did what it asks him to do. He comes out of the cave and stands at the mouth of this cave, atop of this mountain, hoping he might feel his God's presence and understand what to do next. Well, suddenly, while Elijah is standing there, a great strong wind whips around the mountain, breaking off pieces of rock all around, which went crashing down. But Elijah, the story says, did not hear the voice of his God in the wind. Well, next thing you know, there's an earthquake. It shook the mountain up and down with a terrific rumbling, but Elijah, again, did not hear the voice of his God in the earthquake. And then comes a fire sweeping across the rocks and brush outside the cave, but Elijah knew his God was not in the fire either. After the fire, it was quiet. After the earthquake, after the wind, it was calm. And here, in this moment, finally, Elijah hears the still small voice. Some rabbis translate this as a voice of fragile silence. Why do you think the narrator wants us to believe that God was going to show up in the destruction in this story? I mean, Elijah's already been punished enough, right? He dared speak his truth and was essentially sent to the wilderness for it, both in body, but then also heart. He feels afraid, alone, frustrated. So why do we expect that God is going to dole out more in earthquakes and wind and fire? While still forming in the womb, there are expectations set upon our lives. We learn day by day not only what is expected, but what is acceptable. And when we deviate from these in any way, this is the true God, or Black Lives Do Matter, or I do believe this, or I don't, or whatever the truth that you know deep within, the most true and essential part of yourself. When we deviate from what is acceptable or safe, we come to expect punishment, regardless of our theology, regardless of our religious upbringings. You didn't need to be raised with a punishing God to learn that going outside of the norm will cause retribution, that it will require bravery, not just once, but again and again, to express the truth of our lives. And so what do? Out of fear, weighing the risk, we bury those truths. We shush our voice. We sing only in the shower. We take another bite at the family dinner rather than respond to the way Uncle so-and-so is saying abhorrent things. We ask ourselves, is this worth it? What are you doing here, Elijah? And every time we do so, every time we choose, as Parker Palmer says, that divided life, rather than the integrity that comes from being what and who we are out loud, we teach our spirit that it has no authority in our lives, that it does not need to be heard, that it does not exist. Elijah's journey maps out the work of the spirit that chooses an alternative ending for all of us. It's like the five stages of integrity, of wholeness, rather than the five stages of grief, right? So it is one, learn your truth. I mean, that in and of itself, that requires vulnerability, that requires bravery. But one is learn your truth, and two, say it out loud, or maybe it's show it out loud, dance it, create it, express in whatever way is right for you and your body and spirit. Three, rest, eat something sweet and repeat. Four, hold on, buckle up through that false punishment. It is not yours to receive. Because five, listen for what speaks that is not born of destruction, but out of wholeness. What am I even doing here? Greg asked. It is good to be with people, he answered. It is good to be in front of people so that they may join me and hear their own voice too, he said. It is good for all of us to see someone bringing themselves forward for something they love and believe in. Greg preached to me. My ears wish my head was missing, so they could finally kiss each other and applaud all your nourishing wisdom. Craig, will you offer our next song?
Like one of those Japanese bowls that were made long ago. I have some cracks in me. They have been filled with gold. That's what they used back then when they had a bowl to mend. It did not hide the cracks, it made them shine instead. So now every old scar shows from every time I broke, and anyone's eyes can see I'm not what I used to be. But in a collector's mind, all of these jagged lines make me more beautiful and worth a much higher price. I'm like one of those Japanese bowls. I was made long ago. I have some cracks in me. See how they shine of gold.
Friends, I offer one more note on this topic for today. This Elijah story is about the individual journey of listening, of speaking, of being heard. But there is an essential piece of the theme that we must lift up this morning, and that is the power of the collective voice. The collective singing, dancing, listening, believing so persistently that truth will make its way through the destruction. As we mourn the murder of another Black man, and navigate the abhorrent trial of another white officer, as we hold our children tight without any promise on our tongues And while we pull ourselves out into a terrifying world, risk, 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 despite the sacred truth of life, let us now hear and celebrate the gorgeous noise of lift every voice and sing.
Civil rights activist James Weldon Johnson wrote Lift Every Voice and Sing as a poem, which was set to music by his brother John Roseman Johnson in 1899. The song is now known as the Black National Anthem in America. It is a protest, a hymn, and a prayer of profound significance for our people. We lift every voice and sing to express ourselves. We lift every voice to show that we have strength in numbers and we will not be silent. We lift every voice and sing to be lifted, liberated, and free.
Freedom, the power to determine action without restraint. Freedom, the absence of or release from ties, obligations, or restrictions. Freedom, the ease or facility of movement or action. Freedom, frankness or boldness in manner or speech. Freedom, a political right. Until we are all free, none of us is free. Black lives matter. Black lives matter. Black lives matter.
Lift every voice and sing.
Till earth and heaven ring
with the harmonies.
Sky.
God of our weary ears, God of our silent tears, thou who hast brought us thus far on the way, thou who hast by
connected, from the forest to the sea to humanity itself. Each thread of being is woven into a single fabric of existence. We embrace nature's beauty and we are in awe of its power. We care for our environment so that it may sustain life for generations to come. We do this in partnership with those most impacted by environmental destruction, who are often marginalized in the larger culture. Often these frontline communities are impacted hardest and have the fewest resources to recover. Creating a sustainable way of life is central to our view of a just and compassionate world, and puts our seventh and eighth principles into action. Yesterday, the UUC's Earth Ministry planted and distributed saplings and did a grounds cleanup at our church. 50% of the plate is designated for social justice causes and projects. Today's social justice portion of the plate will support the UUM Ministry for Earth, which is an independent affiliation organization of the UU Association that addresses a range of environmental issues, including climate change, our most pressing environmental concern. The UU Ministry for Earth works towards environmental social justice by helping UUs relate their lives to the living earth, environmental justice, and future generations. You may use PayPal, you may set up e-banking, you may send a check through the mail directly to the church, or you may go to the UUCWC website. Robin has posted this link in the chat. Kindly remember to identify what your pledge is for if you're using PayPal or sending a check directly to the church. Also, contributions are in for our auction fundraiser, Together Wherever We Are, and there is something for everyone. Yesterday, the auction book became available through the church website. You may also want a printed copy of the beautiful book.
I sit on gallery view so I can see all your lovely faces. So if you want to sit on gallery view and join me in this song, this is in hopes that one sunny day we will all meet again. We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I'm sure we'll meet again. Some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do.
till the blue skies chase the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know? Tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that when you saw me go, I was singing this song. We'll meet again, don't know where, don't know when, but I'm sure we'll meet again some sunny day. I'd like to be singing this song with you in the middle of the, in the middle of the, of the room, dancing around. We'll meet again, don't know where, don't know when, but I'm sure we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, keep smiling through, just like you always do, till the blue skies chase the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know? Tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that when you saw me go, I was singing this song. We'll meet again, don't know where, don't know when, but I'm sure we'll meet again some sunny day.
Whee! Tobias, come help me with the closing words.
Hop on up.
Ah! Okay. All right. Here's what I need to tell everybody. There is this theologian named Thomas Merton, and he says, afraid that our inner light will be extinguished, our own inner darkness exposed, we hide our true identities and become separated from our own souls. We end up leading divided lives, far removed from our birthright wholeness. Greg didn't need to preach this, didn't need me to preach this sermon. He preached it to me through sharing his, yes, you may do that, through sharing his constant authenticity, bravery, vulnerability, and learning each time, showing each of us this radical celebration of our wholeness. I'm wishing you peace. I'm wishing you health. I'm wishing you a yes to whatever shows up in unexpected times and places.
Hi.
And may we remember that this is the day we are given. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
So stay on Gallery View. And we'll do the closing song, which is kind of like our hymn at church, The Blue Boat Home. And there's a possibility that the words are in the chat, and there's a possibility that Elijah knows where they are.
Low below me, I feel no motion, standing on these mountains and plains. Far away from the rolling ocean, still my drive and heart can say, I've been sailing all my life now, never harbor nor port have I known. The wide universe is the ocean I travel, and the earth is my blue boat home. Sun my sail and moon my rudder, as I ply the starry sea, leaning over the edge in wonder, casting questions into the deep, drifting here with my ship's companions, all we kindred pilgrim souls. Making our ways by the light of the heavens in our beautiful blue boat home. I give thanks to the waves upholding me, hail the great winds urging me on, greet the infinite sea before me, sing the sky my sailor's song. I was born upon the fathoms, never harbor nor port have I known. The wide universe is the ocean I travel, and the earth is my blue boat home. The wide universe is the ocean I travel, and the earth is my blue boat home.
Thanks for singing with me.
Please, if you have a chalice lit at home, let's lift them together and say the words found in the chat. We extinguish this chalice, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These remain kindled until we meet again.